Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Speaking of COVID, what do you do if you run a business, if you're responsible for employees and you're trying to reopen? That's a real challenge going forward here. Karen Michael from Karen Michael Consulting, the attorney who works with businesses and is keeping track of the ever-changing laws and rules and regulations. Where do we stand this morning? Have things changed dramatically, Karen, even with the change of administrations from Trump to Biden, or is this going down to statewide regulations? What are you observing here?
I would say the sense of hopelessness remains steady, is what I would say, for business. And that was especially true when Virginia decided to make permanent these emergency temporary standards that impose on businesses some very strict requirements around cleaning and environmental controls and mask wearing and all this stuff. And it was set to expire in January because it was supposed to be temporary. Right. And now it's permanent. And so it divides up businesses like it did before into very high risk, people who are around COVID people, medium risk, which is pretty much everyone else, and then low risk, which is people who telework. And, depending on where you fall in that, you now permanently have all these rules and requirements. And we're bragging that, we're the only first in the country to have these things. And now they're permanent until the governor, releases his emergency declaration, which, of course, will be never. So I guess these are in place for forever. And if you're a business, it's just like a sense of hopelessness, to be honest.
While at the same time, it doesn't sound like they're pushing for liability protection for businesses. That's what's troubling to me, has been troubling since the very beginning here. If I were running a business and somebody said, oh, every employee can sue you, I would probably say, well, you know what? I'm dumping a bunch of employees and we're just going to run on the bare minimum going forward.
Well, what was interesting about these regulations, of course, there's no talk at all about giving any business protection whatsoever. And you want employees to stay safe. And I think most businesses have figured that out. But the good news, though, I would say, is, John, is that they're, at the time they put in these permanent standards, this whole talk about double masking wasn't a thing. So we don't have to double mask in the regulations. So that's good news.
Yes.
But the regulations do set forth a bunch of requirements specifically around masks, that these gaiters that people wear have to be double gaiters, and
they have
to be cloth masks, not surgical masks, and the plastic barrier that people wear, that's not good enough. And what's really interesting about these new rules is that they're in conflict with the governor's Executive Order 72, which seems to have expired, by the way, January 31st. I can't see that that's been extended, which required all employees to wear masks at all times. The permanent standards actually don't do that. They only require mask wearing if you can't have social distancing and other things. So the governor's own, all these rules are all in conflict. My husband and I sit there, both lawyers, trying to read Executive Order 72. We can't figure it out. It's so hard if you're a business owner to know what are the rules, what's in place right now, what do I have to do to not get shut down. And I just don't think that there's a lot of collaboration to let businesses know and to help them to understand what's going on. And I think that's pretty frustrating if you're a business.
Yeah. And again, it's coming from the executive orders. This isn't the legislature working out a new set of rules with transparency and citizen input. This is all from the governor's office.
These permanent rules, these regulations, are actually coming out of the Department of Labor and Industry, the Safety and Health Codes Board is the one that implemented that, and the governor has signed off on them. So your point is well taken. Elected officials, no elected official has made a decision on any of this stuff other than Governor Northam. It's the Safety and Health Codes Board, which I presume the governor appoints people to this board, and they're the ones making the decision, and then Dolley signs off on it. The other interesting thing about these regulations that are now made permanent and they're slightly revised is there's no mention of a vaccine. Like, what happens if everyone in the whole office has the vaccine? Mm-hmm. We've all been fully vaccinated. We don't see any outside people. Do any of these rules, why would these rules still apply? It's like the concept of vaccine is not anywhere in the permanent standard. So that's why I said the sense of hopelessness. It's like there's no theory that, well, when we get vaccines out, we're going to take these away. It just, these are the rules forever and ever, amen, and we're going to be in COVID misery forever.
Yeah, well, I mean, one would hope that they would be counting on the vaccine by, what, summertime, mitigating all of this, and then those of us who have gotten the vaccine, hopefully I'll be in that list at some point, we'll be able to move on with life. But yeah, there's something kind of that smells about the way this is going down. Obviously the teacher thing is a big deal. We keep going back and forth, and to be honest, it seems like the teacher unions are changing what they want in place before they'll go back to work. Is that addressed in here in any way?
What's interesting about teachers and what I don't understand about this teacher situation is that is really the only profession that has refused to return to work. Every other profession has returned to work under safety rules and all of this. Mm-hmm. But that's the only profession that has refused to return to work as though they're in some special category. And if you at least follow what the Health and Safety Code Board says, is that educational settings are absolutely in no different risk category than grocery stores, than retail establishments, than everyone else. They're categorized regular office work. I mean, they are no different than everyone else. So they're not in a special category. The one category that the Health and Safety Code did increase was correctional facilities. They took them from high risk to very high risk because they are, and they moved them up. But the educational settings have remained medium risk. So it's a little confusing as to if they had a legitimate argument, then maybe they should have been moved up to high risk or very high risk. But the Health and Safety Codes Board, if you believe them, they didn't think that's the case. They put them with everyone else. So it is a little confusing why Governor Northam has allowed that to happen with educational. I mean, it seems like on-site attendance is an essential function of the job of a teacher.
Right.
Because
one
these students
think.
Really need to go to school.
Well, I'll say it because I know you don't like to go political. It's because of the teachers' unions, and he's beholden to them. And for whatever reason, I don't know if they're still getting paid or what the deal is. You know, you've seen a couple of these high-profile stories where teachers have been tweeting about how they won't go back to school, and then you find out that they're on the beach in Cancun.
Right.
You think, oh, okay.
Well, I haven't seen that in Virginia. Now, technically in Virginia, there are no teachers' unions. They can't unionize. They can, starting in March,
right.
That's a new rule they're going to be allowed to. But technically, there are no official unions in Virginia. And, you know, obviously teachers are wonderful, and most teachers are, you know, they want to go back to school. It's the kind of their regulators that are telling them they can't go back to school. My friends who are teachers are dying to go back into the classroom. And so, but, you know, you see all these things, I shouldn't die so that your kid can have an education, and, you know, they're wearing these signs. And if we're told to follow the science, there are all these other places in the United States are open. In South Carolina, they're open, their schools, and they're going back to school. So there's no evidence of widespread, you know, spread there. So I'm just confused as to, we have these regulations, they're in place. Educational settings are among medium risk. There's very specific things that we should do to keep people safe. Mm-hmm. So if we follow those things, I'm so unclear as to why kids are not back in school. If you follow these guidelines, and they're written, and the codes board says it's medium risk. So, yeah, it is a little confusing as to why we haven't forced these schools to open up, given that the rules are in place.
I've been waiting to see what it is that's going to finally push the average citizen over the line and have them raise hell, or, you know, demand a recall of somebody or go to court. And the place that seems to be the pain point here appears to be schools. You know, that's the only thing I see everybody complaining about is, why aren't my kids back in school? So that's an interesting observation, that this continues to be a little bit of a mess here. More than a little bit of a mess, a big mess, legislatively and rules-wise, and how that impacts the average person. Karen Michael from Karen Michael Consulting, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.